Good afternoon. One thing I learned about trying to speak to people after lunch, you better get them involved quick. But if I, like my brother John, if I see anybody sleeping, I'm going to stay up here a little longer. And if the Lord would be pleased, call your attention to the Gospel of St. John, the 6th chapter. The Gospel of St. John, the 6th chapter, verse 37. It's something I often find myself defending, even though the Word of God needs no defense. But it needs to be explained in a way that people can understand. John writes, I send unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, but will raise him up again at the last day. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's no question, no doubt about it. The last discussion I had on this was maybe Tuesday or Wednesday or this past week, and we were talking about salvation. And this man, guy had visited us at Harmony, and he said, "Well, I can't give you salvation, but you could lose your salvation." No, I'm not having it. If you've ever been born by the will of God, you are his child. And as my brother likes to explain it, God did not have two children. Doesn't matter how they live or what they do. It doesn't matter how they may disappoint us or cause us joy. We may disown them and never see them again. But you run a DNA test, they still ours. And he said, "Oh, so you primitive Baptists believe once in Christ and never out. You're mighty right." Yes, I do. Well, didn't Jesus offer salvation to all? No. He never offered salvation to anybody. He gave salvation to his people. And as my late Uncle Jimmy used to say, when you read that word all might be many, but many is never all. Here he's talking about all under consideration. When Gabriel met with Mary, "Mary, thou who art highly favored of the Lord, you're going to conceive and bring forth the Son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." And if he says he shall save his people, that's evidence that there are some who are not his people. And I'm just going to tell you, the only people, in my opinion, the only people who get concerned about who are not God's children are those who are God's children. Because the rest of them could care less. And sometimes, I think it hurt Paul when he began to realize that they are not all Israel who are of Israel. He says over in the book of Ephesians, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And why did Jesus come? Over in the book of Corinthians, after they had took communion, Paul makes the statement, if we should not judge ourselves, we should not be judged of God. But we can't judge ourselves, because in judgment, we have to use righteous judgment. And as was said this morning, we have no righteousness of our own. The only righteousness that we do have is our relationship with the Lord. That's our righteousness. If you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you're trying to walk by his path and please the Father, that's the only righteousness we have. That is a relationship with the Lord, that it is righteous. And we did not initiate that. We didn't go looking for him. He came to us and changed our hearts, changed our minds, changed the way we walk, the way we talk. He did it on his own. We did not do that. As I say many times, I don't know when I was born again. I told you this morning, I don't know when I was born again, and I was there. Didn't matter. Until mom and dad, actually they had my birth wrong. Because I wasn't born in the hospital like some people. I was born by a midwife out in the woods. Wasn't close to a hospital. And the midwife got the dates wrong. And then I had to get it changed. Had mom write a letter. We went through all this stuff in Arkansas. And they didn't have good records back then. And then I decided, you know what? Not only am I going to change, or they have them change the birth, I'm going to change my name. Because I got jealous. John had a middle name, John Wallace. Ray had a middle name, Willie Ray. Greg had a middle name, Gregory Henry. And I was Eugene Thor. No, we're going to change that. I'm going to get a middle name. So I took my grandfather's middle name, Eugene Sanders Thor. We changed all of that. But God doesn't change. He knows who his people are. And we cannot judge righteous judgment. The only one that could judge righteous judgment is the one that came down from heaven, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. And he goes on, Paul looked at it in the book of Ephesians, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Don't let nobody tell you God don't love no sinner. God loves the sinner. He just doesn't like the sin. Who were dead in trespasses and in sin, and walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We all were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We all had our conversation like that. They couldn't tell us no different from the rest of the world. But one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, or portion of it, but God, which is a sermon in itself. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Who is us? All that the Father gives me And when we look at all, Paul realized when he wrote to the Romans, though the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. A remnant is a piece. It's never all. It's all under consideration. All that the Father give me shall come to me. And if you really want to look at it, why we needed the Lord Jesus to come and to redeem us back to God, it was always because of Adam's transgression. Go way back to the beginning. When God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and gave Adam a commandment of every tree in the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the midst of in the midst of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. As I tried to explain this morning, Satan wants to introduce doubt into your trust and belief in the Word of God. I was explaining to a young man this afternoon, that Word of God, there are three words of God. There's a written word, there's the preached word, and there's a living word. The living word is Christ Jesus. And because of Adam's transgression, Adam and Eve had transgressed and they tried to cover themselves with leaves and hide from the Lord. You can't hide from God. He knows where you are. He knows all about you. And he heard the voice cry out, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was, but he wanted him to take a look at his condition. You ever seen people, they seem like they don't care about anybody or anything, and they rise up and rise, think you all of that in a bag of chips, and then you can see them again, and they done sunk down. Look at where you are now. What happened? Why are you there in this condition now? And that's what he was wanting Adam to look at. Adam, we had communion. We had a relationship. I could talk to you. Look at where you are now. You have messed up my whole creation. That's why he cursed Adam, cursed the serpent. Then he cursed the woman, then he cursed Adam. I remember when I used to go to work and I get stuck in this traffic and I'm sitting there and I'm getting frustrated. A lot of times, Adam, this is your fault. Birds of the air, they don't have to work. They don't have to have a job. They don't collect a paycheck. But God keeps watches over them. He takes care of them. And actually, all you women, when you get them labor pains hit you, that's his fault. I've watched both of my kids give birth, and I'm trying to console my wife and holding her hand, and I could tell when the contractions hit because she squeezed my hand so hard, that hurt. But that's their fault. But God had I have to correct this. I used to say God had a plan of salvation. He does not. God has a purpose. God has a requirement. God has a plan, even though those terms are sometimes used interchangeably. A plan is how you're going to accomplish your purpose, the steps that you're going to take. God's purpose, according to election, Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great sorrow and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself accursed from Israel for Christ's sake, according to my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. My brethren are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and all the covenants of God, whose fathers, of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, not as though the word of God have taken none effect, but they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And people would throw them. Why would God save some and send them to heaven and then condemn the others and send them to hell? God don't send anybody anywhere. He saved some for heaven. And the rest he just left where they were. What if I go to an orphanage and there are 100 children there and I pick out 20 of them to come live with me? Did I condemn the rest of them? No, I just left them where they were. I chose some. And I loved them. I may love all of them. People ask me sometimes, Thoreau, how can you love everybody? You don't know everybody. So, well, if people can hate people they don't know, I can love people I don't know. That's just the way I look at it. That's just the world, the way the world is. And then he goes on to say, for this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. For Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why? That the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. God has a purpose. There's a difference between having a purpose and having a plan. He has a purpose. A purpose drives you. It's what's inside, pushing you to do the will of God, pushing you to walk the ways that he would have you to go. Now, I may say plans will change. But the driving purpose, the drive that's in you, that's coming from God to help, he uses people to fulfill his purpose. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Why? The elder shall serve the younger. That's the way of man, not the way of man, the way of God. Then the Old Testament, the elder son would receive the blessings. And the younger son waited on a blessing. God said, the elder shall serve the younger. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And then God gave man a law. Brother talked about it this morning. What does the law? The law shows you what condition you are in. That's what the law does. If there's no sign on the freeway, I can drive how fast as I want to drive. Do what I want to do. But when the speed limit says 65 miles an hour, now I know the law. I understand the law. That's what the law was given as our schoolmasters to bring us under Christ. But men couldn't keep the law. And I have some friends, and every time I ride with them, they ain't paying attention to the speed limit. So sometimes I don't ride with them anymore. But that was the law. Had the law not been given, I would not have known the condition mankind is in. But he gave Moses the law. But we still couldn't keep the law. He wrote the Ten Commandments and gave them to Moses. And told Moses, you get down off of this mountain. Because the people, they playing, partying, doing all of this. And every time some of you heard me say it. Every time I hear that, it tickles me. Because Moses came down from that mountain. And he confronted Aaron. They was all worshiping that golden calf, saying, this is the calf that brought us up out of Egypt. And Moses told it, got on Aaron, and Aaron said, well, the people, they gave me the gold, they gave me the earrings, and I took all the gold and I melted it down, and out came this golden calf. Kind of reminds me when we were kids. We all had chores to do. And mom and dad had left and gave us some instruction. Gene and John, you do this. Ray and Greg, you do that. And you get four boys together in one room, ain't no telling what's going to happen. And we was moving the refrigerator around, and we had this red table. Dad must have picked it out because he loved red. It was a red stainless steel table. And we got to messing around and pushing on, and the table and the refrigerator fell over and hit that table. About that time, Mom and Dad walked in. And they come in there, what in the world is going on? Mom, the refrigerator, it just fell over. She didn't go for it. Moses didn't either. I put all the gold in there, and out came this golden calf. No, you did this. And then Moses drew a line in the sand. Those who are for God, you stand over here. Those who are against God, you stand over here. And those who are against God, they die. Now, did God cause that? No. No. Did God send people to hell? No. Hell is reserved for the devil and his angels. But heaven is reserved for all those that the Father gave me. All of them. I'm not going to lose one. Mary. Thou who art highly favored of the Lord, you're going to conceive and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. They came to the Lord. The apostles came to the Lord, some of the disciples. And tell them the wheat and the tares are growing together. How shall we separate them? You don't separate, you let them grow. You let the wheat and the tares grow together. And in the day of the reapers, I'll separate them. We're separated. We don't know who God's people are. We look just like everybody else. Sometimes we act just like everybody else. How do we know who God's people are? We don't. We get a feeling. When John was out on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I saw 144,000 of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, 12,000 of Asher, 12,000 of Benjamin, 12,000 of Nahor, and he went on to 144,000, 12,000. I got to put this in here. I was at the house and there's a knock on the door, and this certain group, you know who I'm talking about, knocked on the door and wanted to talk. I said, well, you have your Bible, let me go get my Bible. And I got my Bible. So you are witnesses? And they say, yes, we're witnesses. The witnesses that the Bible talks about, that's us. And I said, well, the witnesses consented to the stoning of Stephen to death. So you telling me that your witnesses are the ones who stoned Stephen to death? I don't want to be part of that group. They tried to change the story, but it's too late now. You done said it, and you can't take it back. But he knows. When John was out there, not only did he see 144,000, he kept on riding. And saw another number that no man could number, coming out of trials, great trials and tribulations, having palm leaves in their hands and the name sealed in their foreheads. An angel asked John, who are these? Lord, thou knowest. I don't know who they are. It's a number that no man could number. And I don't know who they are either. I don't know what they look like. I don't know where they came from. I don't know who they are. I don't know their backgrounds. The only thing I know is my name is, I'm in that number. And the second thing I know is that the Lord knoweth those that are his. And I depend on that. He knows who they are. I can't save you. I can't save myself. The purpose of God, according to election, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And when Paul started writing it in the Roman letter, he said, I could wish myself a curse for my kindred Israel for Christ's sake. That's how bad he felt. And that's how bad some other people feel. Why would God choose me and leave somebody else? Well, I don't know if he chose you. That's between you and God. That's between you and him. All the children. There's the, though the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. And as my Uncle Jimmy used to say, many may be all, but all is not many. Or the other way around, I should say. All might be many, but many is never all. When Jesus prayed in the garden, many. When he gave the communion service, he said, "This is this bread is my flesh, broken for many." Many. He didn't say all. When he gave the wine and he blessed it, "This is my blood of the New Testament, shed for many." People want to tell you he died for the whole world and offered them salvation. He ain't offered nobody anything. He brought us together, raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not your choice. That's God's choice. In fact, you don't have a choice whether to follow God's word or not unless you have been born again. Once you've been born again and you receive the word of God or you know the word of God, now you have a choice to make. I can follow his teachings or I don't. But if you haven't been born again, they don't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to you. The scriptures say the preaching of the cross is foolishness unto the Greeks. It's foolishness. It makes no sense. How are you going to talk to me about a man born of a virgin? What? To the carnal mind, it makes no sense. For a man in a state of nature cannot understand the things of the spirit, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If you have not the Spirit of God, how are you going to make a difference? How can you? Cannot. People are talking about, well, you gotta come say the sinner's prayer. What is that? Show me. Book, chapter, and verse. Where is that? The only prayer I do is I want to please the Father while I'm here in this world. That's what his people want to do. They want to please the Father. Why? Because we are little children. He calls us little children. And what do little children want to do? They want to please their parents. Not in order to become their child, but because they are their child. I want to please the Father, not in order to get to heaven, because I already know I'm going. I want to please the Father because he is our Father. I want to please the Lord. Jesus is our elder brother. We have a relationship. We have the same Father. Jesus and you and I, we have the same Father. That's why we're brothers and sisters in Christ. You have people sometimes talking about election. There was an election. God cast one ballot and the devil cast another ballot. Now you got to cast a ballot and make up the difference. Don't believe a word of it. I don't care what I say. Challenge me with book, chapter, and verse, because that's all I got to give you. I don't have anything else to give you. My opinion don't mean a thing. If I can't give you book, chapter, and verse, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, you don't need to listen. But do like, what was it, the Epicureans? They went back and searched the scriptures daily, whether these things are so. When you leave here today, the sermons that you heard, you can go back, search the scriptures, whether they be so. And then we can have a good discussion. We can have a good discussion. All that the Father give me shall come to me. And then people, well, God loved the whole world. Well, he loved his creation. But he didn't die for the entire creation. When Jesus prayed in the Gospel of St. Matthew, in the Gospel of St. John, I talked about it a little bit this morning. When he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as that thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Yes, he had power over all flesh, but he didn't give eternal life to all flesh. He gave eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I've been studying on that, and I'm still don't quite understand, but we'll get to that later. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world ever came into existence. When it was saying, let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness, I was there. When you gave these decrees, their decree, saying, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, I was there. When we made man, when you hung the sun in the silver socket, I was there. I've always been with you. But Jesus loved me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be there. And that's no wonder when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? We've always been together. But in order to fulfill the will of God, in order to fulfill the purpose of election, he had to bear our sins on his shoulders. And as he bore our sins, scripture says there was darkness on the earth from the sixth to the ninth hour. Sun couldn't shine. I was with you when you hung the sun in the silver socket. I was with you when you hung the moon to give light by night, and the moon dripped away in blood. I was with you when you gave Moses the law concerning the holiest of holies. Nobody could enter except the high priest. And when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, just showing us that the way to the holiest of holies, we had access. I don't have to go to a priest. I don't have to go to a minister. I can call on the Lord right here. I can call on the Lord while I'm driving down the highway. Many times I do, because this traffic is crazy out here. And many times, we coming up here yesterday, I was doing a whole, God was driving, but I was doing a whole lot of praying. Just get us there. Just get us there. So the veil of the temple, it was open. We can go directly to the Lord. And even we have access to him. And even when we don't know what to say, even though we may stumble over words, we have a mediator who speaks to the Father. I understand what they're saying. I understand what they mean. Because I've been there. I've gone through it. You ever had your friends deny you? You ever want some help from your own friends and they won't hear you? They won't stand with you? Jesus understands. And as far as I'm concerned, Jesus is Job, is God's answer to Job. Job could complain to God, you don't have eyes like a man. You don't have hands like a man. You are spirit. How can you possibly understand what I feel? You can't do that. You can't say that to Jesus. You've been thirsty? Jesus has been thirsty. You ever been hungry? Jesus was hungry. You ever grew tired? Jesus got tired and sat down on a well. Not only that, he bled. He bled red blood. I don't care what race you think you are, red, white, black, brown, yellow. Cut yourself, I bet you got red blood too. God, on the inside, we all the same. On the inside, we all God's children. Not all that, not the whole world. All those according to the purpose of God, according to election. And we have to not only understand it, know why Jesus did what he did. Know why you believe what you believe. And be able to testify, talk to somebody, how God separated the sons of Adam. He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. He found Jacob in a desert land, in a waste and howling wilderness. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirs up her nest, spreads abroad her wings, bears her young on his wing. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no other God with him. He found him in a desert land. People talk about, I found the Lord. Well, when was he lost? And where did you find him? No, he found us. When we were not even looking for him, he found us. He took us out of that orphanage. He prepared a place for us. That when this life is over, I got a home to go to. When this life is over, I say many times, I don't need, Jesus told the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. And if it was not so, I would have told you. And I tell many, I don't need a mansion. There's a song I learned in Arkansas, Lord, build me a cabin in a corner of glory land. I don't deserve a mansion. In the beneath the shade of the tree of life, that it may ever stand, where I can just hear the angels sing and shake Jesus' hand. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. And that's all I need. And I don't know where heaven is. Up, down, north, south, east, and west. What I do know, the scripture tells us that three gates in the north, three gates in the south, three gates in the east, three gates in the west. How am I going to get lost going home? I just got to go. Just go. And he'd be ready. He's going to meet you. And when he comes back for his people, he's coming back with the armies of heaven. And the dead in Christ are going to rise and meet the Lord in the sky. And I don't know how that's going to happen. What I do know is that I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and the dead were judged by those things which were written in the books. But I'm so glad another book was opened, which is the book of life. And whosoever name was not found written in that book was cast in the lake of fire. I don't care about that. I don't concern myself with it, because my name is written in the other book. That's what I believe. In fact, I know it, and when Jesus comes back again, the trumpet shall sound, and dead in Christ shall rise, and those which remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And sometimes I used to wonder, how is that going to be? Is he going to call in geographic numbers? Is he going to call in alphabetical order? I don't know, sister, oh my goodness. Having a senior moment. Golden Gate. She came to me, she said, Elder Thrower, this is the way I look at it. I grew up on a farm, and we would work the fields, and Mama would cook. And when she finished cooking, she would ring that dinner bell, and we all came running, because we knew it was calling for us. Somebody else might be passing our house, walking down the road, and they would hear that dinner bell, but they weren't coming. Because it wasn't meant for them. I guess that trumpet is going to be like a dinner bell. Going to call all the gods. We all going to hear at the same time. Going to call all the God's children to go home. And we shall ever be with him. And I say many times, 6 feet of dirt ain't going to keep me from rising. Just not going to happen. But he's coming for his people. Those whose names are written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And you wasn't even there. In fact, your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, they wasn't there either. So they could pray all you want, and we pray for our children. We pray for the people we love. We pray for the people we care about. But that's God's business. That's God's business. I can't make you a child of God. And when one of the kids visiting Harmony asked me one time, he said, Elder Thrower, how can you love someone you have never seen, love someone that you don't know anything about them? And I said, go ask your mom. From the time she found out she was pregnant, she loved that child. Amen. Haven't seen him, don't know what his character is going to be, don't know how he's going to turn or she is going to turn out. But as that baby is growing in the womb, she loved that child. And so it is with God's people. He wrote your name in the book of life before you ever came into the world, but he already knew you. Yeah. He already had foreknowledge that foreknowledge means he had an intimate relationship with his people. He told Jeremiah, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you ever came forth out of the belly, I had already called you and sanctified you, a minister. He already knew you. He knows his people. As I said, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knows those that are his. He knows those that are his. My brother always says, I wish the Lord had painted a yellow stripe along the back of his people. That way I know who to be nice to and who just didn't matter. But he didn't do that. No, John, I said, John, your prayers still haven't been answered. Ain't going to be. He knows those that is. So what do? Be kind one to another. Show compassion one to another. Jesus said, love ye one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. That's a sign. That's a sign that you are a child of God. If you have love for your brethren, if you have love for your sisters, if you can feel compassion of God, feel the love, not like man's love, but the love that comes down from heaven that God puts on the inside, and you have to work it out. All those fruits of the Spirit come from the God, our God, and you have to work it out. We have to work it out with each other. Love God, love your brothers and sisters. Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? That's what they asked Jesus. Him that doeth the will of my Father, the same is my neighbor, my brother, and my sister. We have to do that. And God's chosen, God's elect, you do it whether you know somebody or not. And it's let others worry about why would God choose some and leave out others. I don't know. Who knows the mind of God? We don't. We know what he has done. We know what he is doing. And the Bible tells us what he will do. That's prophecy. May God bless you and keep you. May he cause his countenance to shine upon you. May he forever be with you and give you peace. Thank you. Amen.